an entrepreneur activist, insight in a Buddhist colony, and business as a vehicle for change. This is the TEDx Byron Bay podcast. My name's Dino Power, and welcome to this second pre-conference edition. You might have seen the TED videos online. Maybe a friend sent you one. Maybe you discovered them by chance. The TED conference is run by a not-for-profit organisation that created a conference about technology, education and design. And in the spirit of ideas worth spreading, the TED organisation has now created a program called TEDx. On the 31st of July 2010, in Byron Bay, we'll be having our own little TED-like experience as TEDx Byron Bay kicks off. The TEDx events are licensed by the TED organisation, and they combine TED Talk videos with live speakers, and the objective is to spark a discussion with amongst this small group of people. In the run-up to this very special event, as I said, it's July 31st, 2010, we've been interviewing some of the speakers and getting a little bit of insight into the kind of experience that we can expect when the conference proper starts. Today, I'm talking to entrepreneur activist Alf Orpen. Alf has got a very interesting background. He's not your standard kind of entrepreneur, as you're about to find out. Alf's career spans a range of industries and roles, but in this interview, he chose to focus mainly on the philosophical reasons for being involved in enterprise and his approach to it. Thanks for joining us today, Alf.
Thank you, Dino.
It's my pleasure. Alf, I wanted to start by asking you, do you have a favourite moment from the TED conferences and the TED videos?
Oh, jeevers, absolutely, yeah. I think my favourite moment actually lies in if a friend, either via email or in conversation, tells me, hey, have you checked out this TED video? Something like recently a friend of mine told me about Dan Barber, somebody I've never heard of before, How I Fell in Love with a Fish, what a great title. It's just a brilliant talk. It's sometimes the best 20 minutes I spend in a day. I don't do it every day, but certainly at least once a month or something to that effect. And that's my favourite moment, when someone just says, hey, check this out on TED. It's absolutely brilliant. Just the diversity of the disciplines all coming together, just superb.
Actually, I've noticed that headline of How I Fell in Love with a Fish, but I haven't seen that video yet, so I must get around to that.
Been over this afternoon. It's fantastic.
So, as I mentioned earlier, your bio, one of the descriptions is an activist entrepreneur, and I also noticed that you are the only non-farmer to have served on the Australian Biological Farmers Board.
Yeah, that was at that time. There's been other non-farmers since, I believe. But yeah, that was quite a challenge. I mean, and a learning time too, because farmers are really natural scientists. A lot of them don't know it, but what they absorb and just understand from observation is quite profound. So tapping into people who are 10, 20, sometimes 30 years older than myself was really quite a wonderful experience for me, and just bringing some practical stuff to the management of it, not a great deal, but partly thereof in a directorship role. So no, it was absolutely fantastic.
It's interesting. It was something that jumped out at me because, having done work in agriculture in the past, usually they tend to feel comfortable with their own. And for a non-farmer, I think that's a great honour and speaks volumes about how they must see you. But life wasn't always as it is for you now. I know that you're involved in organic products. I know that you're involved in setting up an organic farm share and investing and coaching and all of these things. But give us a little sense of your backstory. Where did you come from?
Oh, gee, how many skeletons do you want to reveal? it's a humanistic thing. It just... Everybody has their ups and downs in life. But really, as far as business, or I'd rather use the word enterprise, so that's a little bit more proactive. Business can become very busy, but not necessarily productive. And, you know, from an environmental social perspective, I think it can be quite destructive, as I'm sure we can all appreciate. But yeah, I actually, believe it or not, I was actually living in a Buddhist colony, had the notion one morning after not speaking to anybody, which people find hard to believe, for about 5 days. That was part of the exercise. And I literally woke up and said, I'm going to go into business. And I think that's, you know, that's the most powerful way to get things done these days. And, yeah, it was quite a strange thing, because the first business went downhill, whichever way you want to call it. It was a very big learning curve in the other direction. And the rest is history. But it really came from the notion of wanting to create change. That's why I think I was asked to be called I was speaking at a Seattle conference once. And that's where that term environmental activist or activist entrepreneur came from.
Well, I think you've just given me one, but I was going to ask, the theme for TEDx Byron Bay is Step Up to Shine. And I was wondering if you could maybe tell us about a time in your life where you feel that you took the step up and made a change and things started happening for you.
Oh, I think like everybody else, it's when you're determined to get something done, I think. And the word determined doesn't mean forcefulness. To me, determined is like determined a destination where you want to get to. And I think, if anything, I feel like I'm going through it today. you know, I really feel like under pressure launching a new enterprise, which we've literally been working on for 3 or 4 years now, and it's quite a challenge. You know, you never, in a public face, I suppose, no one ever shows their challenge fully, but starting anything, it's like a seed that takes, you know, this pressure on it, needs to explode. So I'm grateful for the experiences I've seen in the past, or experienced in the past, to say, hey, this is just doing it all over again. Whether I want to do it again at 53, I don't know. Well, I do, but I'm doing it at the same time. I think now is actually the pressure, believe it or not.
So do you think it gets easier, like, as you go along and you meet a challenge, you know, you give birth to a new enterprise, do you think that it becomes easier as you go along?
Well, yeah, gee, I'll give you a yin and yang answer, yes and no. It's certainly experiences teach you that you have to try and keep it simple. Like, if there's too much to do, you're going to stress yourself out, you know, all those sort of things start appearing. You're going to feel overwhelmed. Overwhelmed and frustration are the two things I think most entrepreneurs experience. So when it's overwhelmed, it's put everything back on the table, pick up one thing and do the most important thing. So life, you know, it gets easier from that point of view. You say, hey, put them all down and just pick one thing at a time and do complete one thing, close the door on it and then open the next one. So it's easier from that perspective. At least you have the little bit of, dare I say, wisdom from that perspective. Just to know that you just can't do it all. And I think anything you start, it's always a little bit more expansive than the last thing.
Yes.
You know, so, you know, no one wants to start something that's half the size or half the quality or half the capacity that they've done in the past.
Yeah.
And that's any artist, isn't it? They want to create something more magnificent in a way, I guess. I think it's just, frustration and pressure are all self-imposed. So just, and it's also, I think you learn about how long things take, so giving yourself more time. Having said that, I'm pushing 53. I think I still make that boo-boo.
it's that tension, I suppose, that allows us to grow and progress.
It is, absolutely, that's the case. Good on you.
We've talked about a diverse range of things already, you know, living in a Buddhist colony, you know, starting a whole range of enterprises, public speaking. What are people coming to TEDx Byron Bay likely to get from your talk there?
Oh, pretty depressed, I think. no, well, actually, depressed, and then that's planting the seed and hopefully some inspiration. Because really, it's all about responsibility. I think every human being is currently responsible for our current state. And there are optimists and pessimists, but I do think personally I'm partly both. I'm pessimistic about where the world, what direction it's going in. I read a lot of the latest UN reports, and you sit there and go, gee, you can get depressed reading these things, because we tend to live life. And I think we need to, as humans, as a simple thing, but we don't know the bigger repercussions of even just driving our cars every day produces. Mm. I recently read an article from a friend of mine in the US who sent me it, and one of the quotes in it was really quite powerful. He said, about the BP disaster in right. the Gulf of Mexico, he said, "He who does not drive a car, throw the first stone."
Yeah.
And I really thought about that, and I think that's a very relative and relevant point, that we tend to think it's somebody else out there causing the problems. So if anything's going to take anything home, I would hope that I could at least partially achieve that responsibility.
Okay, well, that's sounds like a challenge, and it sounds like there is this part of life that we forget from time to time, which is that we are all in the same boat here. We're all connected, and it's a salient reminder. Look, I've really enjoyed this chat that we've had. I'm aiming to keep these brief so that people have a little taste, but not too much before the event. If people wanted to find out more about what you're doing and maybe connect with you, are there a couple of places that people can find you online?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, look, I know 2/3 of people, I believe, from things I've been told about online dialogue happens in social media. So I'm obviously a decade or two behind, so I'm still email and phone. So, people can just hello@alforpin.com. That's always the easiest email to go to, which is just my name and comes straight to me. And a phone number, 07-5630-3891. That's one of our enterprises, but that's where I am most of the time at the moment.
Great. Well, Alf, I want to thank you so much for your time. I'm certainly looking forward to your talk at TEDx Byron Bay. And are there any parting words that you'd like to leave us with?
No, Dino, I just want to say thanks, and I really am grateful for the opportunity. There's TEDx and TED are very educational forms. Like I said before, a diversity of disciplines where people can learn, literally have some of the best 20-minute moments of their lives in their lounge room or in their kitchen or in there just watching their computer.
Well, Alf, thank you so much, and we'll look forward to seeing you at TEDx in Byron Bay.
Thanks, Dan. I look forward to seeing you. Take care.
Excellent. Wow. Well, I hope you guys are enjoying these interviews as much as I'm enjoying doing them. We have a stellar lineup of speakers for TEDx Byron Bay on the 31st of July, and our objective here is to let you have a little chance to get to know some of them before the conference. So wherever you're listening to this podcast, wherever you pick this up, there's going to be an opportunity to subscribe. I'd ask you to do that. Go ahead and do that, because we've got at least another half a dozen of these podcasts to go before the event, not to mention what's going to come during and after the event. So please subscribe, and we'll see you next time on the TEDx Byron Bay podcast.